You know what it's like, Benny. New year, everything starts off a little slowly, a little bit jaded, except for you and the great work you're doing with the Daily Telegraph. Happy New Year, first of all, mate.
Yeah, happy New Year, guys. Thanks for having us on.
Absolute pleasure. Mate, we were talking about it earlier. I would suggest that, well, I said 50% of the articles you're writing are around COVID as much as they are cricket. Have I got that ratio exactly right?
Oh, it feels like that at least. Yeah. No, it's... Yeah, I mean, as it is for everyone, and it's quite tiresome, really, isn't it, talking about it? And it's becoming not that interesting anymore, is it?
Yeah.
Like, you hear about a high-profile person like Glenn McGrath getting COVID or, you know, things like that. It's just, unfortunately, it's becoming more common than not. But, yeah, it's a very interesting test, this one, because, you know, with everything that's going on off the field, but, you know, somehow the two teams are still chugging along, so... Yeah, I mean, the bigger threat possibly to this test might be rain, and I guess, that'd be a better result than COVID.
I heard there was a bit of an outbreak among all the media. Is that right, Benny? Are you all right?
I think I'm all right. There's been a few, but I guess just in keeping with, I guess, society, really, it's, you know, you can pick it up from anywhere at the moment. But, yeah, certainly, like, you know, some of the commentators and some of the press have been affected. So, it's it's just part of life at the moment.
Yeah. I was interested to hear Zach Crawley, the comments that he made in your article. And that was around, look, he would have no problem with going into a bubble. However, he wasn't speaking for anyone else, which was wise of him. We know that Cricket Australia made so many guarantees to the English players about what they would or wouldn't have to do when they were coming out. Things changed so much. How do you think England would respond to going into a bubble, albeit for a very short period of time?
Yeah, well, I mean, the evidence so far on the tour would suggest they wouldn't accept it, because otherwise I think they would already be in one. But, it's an interesting point that Zach Crawley was making, because we are coming to the end of the tour now, and, you know, England's priority will be getting home. They don't want to be delayed here for an extra 7 days or more afterwards. So it is sort of getting to the point where it could be in their interest to go into a bubble situation just to make sure that they can get out of here on time. So yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, the last test, I think, worries the teams a little bit in Hobart, because the rules for being a close contact are still stricter than they are here. But of course, the numbers are much lower in Tasmania. So, yeah, look, they're going to be walking a tightrope right until the moment they leave. But, players worry about being left behind, that's for sure, particularly after such a long tour like this.
I found Zach Crawley's interview yesterday, his press conference, quite fascinating, because he was determined to get the cricket going ahead, and he was really backing himself and said he wanted to score a century, and I don't know whether that's going to happen, but is there a bit of... Do you think he's just the only one that's confident, or England's still all confident? Because I just want to sit them down and give them a bit of a reality check.
Yeah, oh, it's kind of refreshing. You know, he's only played the last test, so I suppose he's not as jaded as everyone else. And, you know, good on him. I mean, he has put a bit of pressure on himself by saying that the conditions should be easier here in Sydney, but... yeah, it was nice to kind of hear someone with something about him, really. And, he seemed like a young guy, I guess, who's, you know, confident in his ability. And, he's not been in great form over the last 12 months, but he is someone that they've got high hopes for, that he does potentially have the game to make it in Test cricket. So, you know, hopefully he can find something in Sydney.
If he was being negative, we'd jump all over him. So I actually like it that he's come out and been really... I love the fact he said, no, I'm desperate to play Test cricket. I want to play the fourth test and I want to play the fifth test. And that's exactly the type of attitude that you need. Travis Head won't be playing. Usman Khawaja, we make a presumption that'd be pretty obvious coming into the side.
Yeah, definitely, Jimmy, definitely. So it's a good story for Usman. I mean, it basically means that everyone named in the original squad, except Mitchell Swepson, although he remains a chance as well to get a debut. But it means that everyone named in that original squad will get a game during this series, which is quite amazing when the team's up 3-0 and hasn't looked like losing a game. So, look, Usman Khawaja last played Test cricket in 2019 on that last Ashes. So it's a good effort, age 35, to come back again. And he's deserved it. He had a good Shield start to the Shield season. He's sort of matured a lot as a player as well, I think, in terms of, you know, he's become a great leader for Queensland over the last couple of years. He's had kids and sort of, as a lot of players do, I suppose, at this age, just, I guess, perhaps let go of some of the anxieties that they had earlier in their career, and it sort of frees them up to you know, sort of fare better, I suppose. So Usman's probably only going to play this test, I guess, unless there's more COVID problems. But, you know, he's quite hopeful that he could play a big part in the tours that are coming up this year in Pakistan and Sri Lanka, because his most recent success overseas, 2018 against Pakistan, he played one of the innings of his career. So he still feels like he's got a fair bit to go.
What about Swepson? Is that sort of one of these stories that get drummed up because it's the SCG and was talk of, you know, perhaps him debuting, or is that actually realistic that he could actually finally get a test debut?
Look, it was realistic, I think, in terms of, you know, Sydney hasn't been great for any type of bowler, really. I mean, it's Mitchell Stark's worst ground in Australia. It's Nathan, close to Nathan Lyon's worst ground in Australia. So it's hard to, you know, get a gauge on what bowler will actually, you know, which is the right type of attack to go with in Sydney. But the thing that's working against Swepson more than anything, I think, is the weather forecast. There's at least 2 days of pretty heavy rainfall. And, you know, I was looking last night, it could even be more than that. So unfortunately, it could be quite a rain interrupted test, which really doesn't help the chances of a second spinner. So I think that's all working against Mitchell, but he's close. And we know that if this tour of Pakistan goes ahead in March, he'll be making his test debut there. So it's a shame they haven't been able to give him a go beforehand. He has actually been around the squad longer than Michael Nesser. He first went on a tour in early 2017. So it's quite an amazing period for Mitchell Swepson, but, you know, it probably won't be this test, but his time is coming.
It might be a sign of the times, Benny. When you started talking about the rain then, I was thinking less about the amount of cricket that's going to be lost than about patrons who go to the ground and then are forced to get undercover and therefore in close proximity of each other and therefore super spreader event and all that, which is completely ridiculous. But all of those things are in play.
Yeah, it's 100% right. Yeah, I mean, you know, you want to come. It's great that we're all getting back to doing what we used to do, and, you know, people want to go to the cricket and enjoy themselves. But, yeah, you, in this time, you certainly don't want to be going and, you know, sitting there in the rain, do you? So, it's definitely, you know, it's a strange sort of time. I suppose people have to make their own decisions about whether they want to go out there. But, you know, I think there's, like there was in Melbourne, I think there's hopes that there will be a nice, healthy crowd every day of the test.
Just going back to what you said about Hobart and the close contact rules are all very different, that kind of thing. Is that under threat at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, as we saw in lead up to Sydney, there was pressure put on New South Wales, I suppose. I mean, they may have been going in this direction anyway, but certainly it was, you know, it was reported that things would be difficult for them if those rules didn't change, because, you know, if there is an incident amongst the playing group, then the test is basically immediately gone. There's no hope of salvaging the test. You know, they're worth a lot of money. So certainly I think it would be in Tasmania's interest to change that. I think it's important to note that they have changed the what is a close contact rule to be in line with what Scott Morrison announced, where you have to be in someone's company for 4 hours or more. So that certainly helps things. But, yeah, it's the prospect of, you know, having to isolate for 7 days after being deemed a close contact, which is concerning, as opposed to, you know, in Melbourne, a negative test is enough to see you, you know, back out and about.
I want to draw your attention, Ben, to an article you wrote with Julian Linden. Pretty disturbing, actually, yesterday. Headline, Australian Federal Police and Cricket Australia investigate assault allegations from the 1980s. It regards an under-19 tour of India and Sri Lanka in 1985, and the player at the heart of the allegations is Jamie Mitchell. Can you tell us more about that? It sounded very disturbing. Nick Hockley said all the right things, allegations of a missing report from that period of time. And by the sounds of it, some other players who were on that tour definitely noticed and felt that there was a change in Jamie during the course of the tour. Tell us more, mate.
Yeah, it's a very disturbing story. And, you know, Jamie needs to be commended on his bravery for coming out and, you know, speaking about his experiences.
Yes.
And, you know, full credit to a lot of the players on that tour who have, you know, didn't necessarily see specific events, but, you know, were very supportive of Jamie in terms of their recollections of what went on and some of the inappropriate things that they witnessed. So, you know, you do feel a deep sadness for someone who, you know, at 18 years of age, you know, you're going off, you're trusting the people that are taking you over there. And, you know, obviously there are allegations, but, you know, that it would seem from the recollections of those there that it was a, you know, disgraceful environment for people to be put involved, put in, particularly at that age. So, you know, it's a very sad thing. Cricket Australia are cooperating with the federal police. We're not sure how far it will go in terms of a police investigation, but certainly, you know, there's a hope there that Cricket Australia will, you know, really, really push for a proper review into this and hopefully give Jamie and the players on that tour some, you know, some clarity and some relief on this.
Yeah, well said, mate. Well said. We will follow that in News Limited publications around the country. Benny, always great with your time. Unfortunately, we talked a little bit of cricket. We talked a lot of other things, but that's sort of what we're getting used to at the moment. Enjoy the Sydney Test match and really appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, Ben.
No worries. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Joyce.